Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat 25. This is Michael Loff for July 16, 2009. And tonight we are talking about the BookSense. I wanted to speak with actual owners. We found four individuals who have bought the product who can give us the real-world user perspective on the device. This is the new BookSense player and recorder, and of course, one of the versions has FM radio and Bluetooth, and has quite a number of features, things that it offers, and we'll talk about those tonight. Our special guests this evening are Robert Carter, Buddy Brannon, Chris Westbrook, and Jerry, and I know I'll mess this last name up, Gallinero. Would one of you like to describe the item, give its kind of physical description, what you find on the front, back, and left and right side, and top and bottom, all that good stuff?
I'll do that. I'm Jerry Guarniero. On the top of the unit, on the left side, is a microphone jack. Then there's a metal loop that's supposed to be able to put a lanyard through. And then on the right side is the earphone jack. On the front of the unit, at the top, is a grill. And there are stereo speakers in there, and they're wonderful speakers. I'll be sitting outside tonight on my deck with the neighbor's air conditioners going on either side, holding the BookSense in my hand and listening to a book without headphones. And I could understand every word of it, and I had the volume just set at the default volume. Below the grill is a horizontal button. It's the clock button, the date and time button. Below that is an up arrow key, and then a button with a rectangular, you can put your fingertip in it is the best way to think of it. A left arrow key to the left of that, a right arrow key to the right of that, and a down arrow key below it. Moving downward, there is a telephone-style keypad. Number one key and number three key are at the same physical height, and the two key is higher than both of them. The four, five, and six row, the four key is high, the six key is high. They're at the level of the 2 key, and the 5 key is at the level of the 1 and the 3 key. The 5 key has an orientation dot. The 7 and the 9 key are at the level of the 5 key. They're the lower level keys. The 8 is high. The star key is actually the cancel button, and the pound key is the OK button. They're high, and the 0 key is low. On the left side of the unit, there are three buttons. From the top, it's the mode button, then the volume up button, down button, and below that is the SD card slot. On the right-hand side is the, from the top, is the play button. Below that is the record button, which has ridges, and then there is a lock switch. If you slide it down toward the bottom of the unit is locked. If you slide it up toward the record button, the unit is unlocked. When the unit is unlocked, you can press the clock, the date and time announce button, and it works even if the unit is turned off. Below the lock switch is a pinhole. It's supposed to be to reset the unit. On the bottom of the unit, there are two jacks. On the left is an AC jack for the charger, and on the right is the connect to a USB port, or there's another cable that comes with it which you can use to connect to a thumb drive. On the back is a switch that you can pull down and swing out the battery.
First of all, yes, the speakers are surprisingly loud for such a small little box. The number pad layout, it reminds me of an adapted chessboard with the alternating black and white squares alternately raised and lowered. That's what the number pad reminds me of. The arrow keys around the menu key, the arrows are embossed. They're a little small, but they're definitely raised enough so you can tell that they're there. The nice thing about the SD card, it, when you put it in, it clicks all the way in, and it's flush with the side of the book, since it doesn't stick out at all, so it's nice and flush with it, so it's really streamlined looking. Candy bar, yes, it looks like a candy bar cell phone. I would say it looks like a whatchamacallit, except with rounder corners.
Well, just don't eat it and you'll be set. That is Buddy, by the way.
This is Robert. It feels very slick and shiny. The plastic, it feels sleek, sort of like, I guess, some of the Apple devices. It really is very small. It's much smaller device than the Victor Stream, actually. It's a slim candy bar. I think people who haven't seen it are going to be surprised at how small it is. It's very light. It fits in your pocket so nicely.
I was told that you're actually advised the first time to turn it on or plug it in without installing the battery, and then to put the battery in afterwards. So I'm curious if anyone wants to comment about just the battery in general, the life of the battery, you know, playing time and or standby time if you're using it just for a clock and alarm for a few days, or how long it takes to charge. Anyone want to comment on the battery life?
That's Robert. I think I saw something like that, and maybe it's even in the manual. I, of course, took my BookSense out of the box and immediately put the battery on the back of it. And when you do that, it's like doing a reset. The unit comes alive at that point and boots up. And when I got mine, it booted up. The battery was completely charged. It was at level 10. It's got 1 through 10 levels on the battery gauge. It just kind of gives you an idea. If it's a 10, it's fully charged. If it's a 1, it's about to die. Gets about 12 hours of battery life.
Yes, buddy. Even though I did read it in the manual, I, like Robert, just put the battery on and then it came on. It takes about 30 seconds, well, maybe 20 seconds, between when you put the battery on or plug it in and when it comes on. Now, they probably advise you to plug it in before you put the battery on because it just automatically comes on for the first time. That's just in case for some reason the battery has discharged in shipment and didn't have a charge for some reason. I think mine was probably at a 6 or 7 when I got it, but it was good enough to do what it needed to. You won't break it if you just put the battery on and go. And it's just, I think they advise that so that it resets properly. They advise that you plug it in first. The battery life expectations they give you in the manual are pretty accurate. Don't know how long it'll stand by with just the clock. I didn't try that because I've been too busy actually playing audio files and stuff with it.
Chris, I want to acknowledge you, sir.
I had a little trouble getting the battery in. It's a little interesting. There's a little latch that you have to push in order to make the battery sort of fit in the unit. And they did describe it in the manual, but reading a description of it and actually doing it are two different things. So, you know, if you have somebody sighted, you know, if they can help you out with it, if you're having trouble or what. Main thing is, just like with any piece of technology, just don't try to force anything.
It's Robert. Once you've done it and you see how it fits, it's very easy to do from that point on. But I understand what Chris is saying. If you've never done it before, never seen a book since, it could be a little tricky. But the battery is actually mostly the back of the unit. If you take the battery off, the back of the unit is missing at that point. It's just kind of a hole back there where clearly something has to go. And the battery is actually heavier than the BookSense unit itself. It's a good solid lithium polymer battery, and it seems to work really well.
I want to talk about the folder structure and navigation. Is it like the Victor in that you have to have certain directories where, say, your talking books would go, or your MP3 files or other types of media, Daisy books? How does that work?
This is Chris. You do have a books folder for your book reader, and you have a Daisy folder for your Daisy. There's no $VR. Everything is, you know, Daisy, or it makes a little bit more sense. You can also put subfolders within those folders.
The folder structure is very simplistic in its organization. It's designed very much like any Windows-based device where you have a root folder, and they just created some root folders for you for each of the various items like Daisy and audio, one for books and documents and so forth. And underneath some of the roots, they have created folders like NLS, Newsline, Bookshare. Be reminded that, yeah, this is where these books go for these particular entities, but it's a very simple structure to follow, especially given that you're going to be adding files and folders to the BookSense using Windows Explorer. And so you use Windows Explorer, and you know, it comes up like any drive on your computer with some simple folders there off the root that are easy to tell what's going on with. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, this is Buddy. If you just look at the top level folders, you might get a bit confused because there's one called Books. That's where you put text files. You don't put your NLS books there. You put your NLS files, for instance, in Daisy. You put your Audible books in Media Player folder in Audiobooks. And then, of course, well, we can get into the whole thing with the different modes that it's in and so forth later. But when you're looking at the folders in the BookSense, only the relevant folders for a particular operating mode show up. But if you're looking at your card or looking at your internal flash from Windows Explorer, of course, all the folders will show up, so you have to remember where things go. Two nice things. First of all, you don't need any sort of special software to put stuff on. And if you put a new blank, empty, never-before-used card in the BookSense, it'll make the folder structure for you. It'll put all the folders that it needs to recognize on the card for you, so you don't have to remember what they are or anything like that. It does it all for you so that you can use the card pretty quick after you put it in. You don't have to do anything special with the card before you put it in.
Okay, let's talk about the mode since you brought it up. Explain that.
This is Jerry. Think of it as analogous to you open up Word, Then you hit Control-O and you're going to open, looking at a directory of files, a folder of files. And then there's a box that says files of type, a drop-down list. And you drop down and say you only want to see the RTF files or you only want to see the TXT files. It's kind of like that. The mode you pick shows you anything that's playable in that mode. There's a DAISY mode, music mode, basically an audio mode, and then there's a books mode, and on the XT there is a radio mode.
This Robert, the mode button takes you through some different top-level modes, if you will, and I've got the XT unit here. There's a media mode, there's a DAISY mode, there's a book reader mode, there's a radio mode. Those are the different modes. And within those modes, you have some different options that you can choose. And you switch modes by pressing the top left button on the left side of the unit. That switches you to the different modes. If you're in the media mode, you have five different choices. Audio books, you have music, you have podcast, and on the XT, you have radio, and you have record. These are actually folders that are set up within the media mode. And so that's where the various items would go. There's a music folder. There's a radio folder. If you record from the radio, the audio goes there. There's a record folder. If you record voice memos, they automatically get placed there. Maybe that helps describe a little bit how the structure is laid out. Then if you switch modes to the DAISY mode, for example, you press the button once, that moves you to the DAISY mode. Then you have a different set of folders that you look at. You have folders for NLS, folders for Bookshare, folders for Newsline.
Let's talk about the media player and what file types are supported. The extensions, MP3, I mean, does it do OGG, WMA? What file types do we have available?
This is Buddy here. Well, first of all, it doesn't do the protective WMA yet. I understand that they're working on that, and we may have that at the next revision. Likewise with the RFBND, that's not available yet either, but they're coming. Bookshare is available. There is a Newsline folder, although the Newsline in your pocket, I don't believe is available yet for the stream. So like you have to get them by email and put them on that way, I guess. No DRM'd file types yet, but it does MP3s and M4As, the Apple iTunes format, the unprotected one. Like if you've got old Apple iTunes from before this year that still have the DRM, it won't play those, but it'll play the unprotected ones. It'll play WAVE, FLAC, MP3, M4A, of course the Library of Congress books. As for text formats, it'll do DOC, DOCX, the Word 2007, RTF text, HTML, XML. Because I know someone's going to ask, no, it won't play PDFs. It'll do Braille too.
So that's the Bookshare, which is the XML or HTML?
Yeah, it'll play Bookshare files, DAISY. Both DAISY formats, 2.0 and 3.0 DAISY formats.
This is Chris. I currently use the XML from Bookshare because the DAISY is a little bit flaky at the moment. But yeah, you could do both.
It plays BRL files and BRF files.
Talk about the daytime and alarm functions.
It gives you a choice of four melodies, and before the alarm, when the alarm first starts, it says, cancel this alarm, or do you want to play the melody? And it gives you a choice. You can enter text in the edit boxes with the keypad. You move through drop-down lists by moving your left and right arrows, and you move from control to control by moving your up and down arrows. There's an alarm set dialog. From what I gather, you can only set one alarm at a time.
One nice feature, this is Buddy, one nice feature that the alarms have though is that you can set it to go off just once, meaning just the next time it hits that time. You can set it off to go off every day, just on weekends or just on weekdays.
Yeah, this is Robert. The clock is very accurate. I've worked with it now for a while, and it really keeps its time very well. It also announces minutes and seconds and hours when it announces the time. And actually, the clock works even when the BookSense is powered off. Like right now, I've got mine powered off. But if I press the clock button,
8:23 p.m. and 21 seconds Thursday, July 16th, 2009.
The clock is a very nice feature. And it is nice that it timestamps your recordings that you make. That's where the clock really comes in handy.
So let's talk about the voices. You have Kate, and I guess you also have Paul as well. And that Kate sounded pretty clear. I'm curious, I guess start with you, Robert and Chris, since you have both the Victor. Do you find it much more pleasurable to read with Kate and Paul versus Stephanie or Tom or one of the other voices? I mean, how's the pronunciation and things of that sort?
I personally really like this Kate voice on the BookSense, and I find the pronunciation to be quite excellent. It does mispronounce a few things with R's in them. I've noticed when I'm reading some newspaper articles. mispronunciation is not that frequent. You just kind of live with it like you always do with synthetic speech. But I find the Kate or the Paul voice, but especially Kate for me, much more enjoyable, much more pleasurable to listen to than any of the text-to-speech voices on the other devices like the Victor Stream or the PlexTalk Pocket. This unit beats those devices hands down, no question, in terms of reading a clear, good quality TTS. This one's got it.
The voices are comparable to what Saratech offers with the improved NeoSpeech, I would say. There's really no difference between listening, that I can tell, between listening to Kate and Paul through System Access and listening to Kate and Paul on the BookSense, other than the size and quality of the speakers.
This is Chris, and I would have to agree with both of them. I have a hearing loss, so that was a big deal for me. When I used my Stream, I would only use it for NLS and Audible stuff because I couldn't stand Samantha and Tom. But with this, I'm reading much more Bookshare stuff because I can listen to Paul. And also, you can speed them up and slow them down. You can't adjust the pitch, I don't think, but you can definitely adjust the speed.
It does go fast. I've only got mine at 10 or 11, but it goes up several more notches beyond that. That's 10 or 11 is plenty fast enough for me.
So let's talk about reading audio content like Audible or NLS. So I'm just going to throw out a few different things. You can comment on whichever ones you want. A, the speed, is it smooth? I mean, you really, when you speed it up, it doesn't really garble the audio, no more than, say, the Victor does, where you can really read fast without it altering the pitch or chopping off syllables or anything. Then also like to know about the ability to set bookmarks or jumping like in time increments. If you can move by chapter, page, or I believe I said something about you can jump percentages of the file. Just talk about the navigation of reading audio content like NLS or Audible.
Well, this is Chris. Audible works well. You can jump by section. Some Audible books are marked up with section. You can jump by time. The NLS, you can move by the different levels that they have depending on how well the daisy's marked up. They're having a little bit of an issue with saving your place in NLS books. It doesn't do a real good job of that right now, but they're aware of it. Audible does a very good job of saving your place, and I think MP3 books also.
Mr. Robert, the speech compression on the BookSense, I would rate it as quite good. Not as good, in my opinion, as the Victor Reader Stream's compression, but I've not heard anything, honestly, that's as good at speech compression as the Stream or the new player that NLS is going to be coming out with for patrons of the library. That it has very excellent speech compression. The BookSense is close in that regard, but not quite as clear as the Stream. Clearer than anything else I've heard other than the Stream or the NLS player. But it does not have as many increments. It has four different settings for speeding up audio. There are only four of those, and there are many more than that on the Stream. So the Stream can speed up faster, I believe, than the BookSense can. But it is very easy to change the speed while reading. It does a pretty good job of not messing you up when you change speeds. In other words, it stays pretty close to the word that you were reading when you change speed. Not quite as smooth at this point as the Stream, but it does have a key that you press, the 5 key that automatically takes it back to the normal speed if you want to jump back to normal speed. The ability to navigate is about what you would expect in terms of DAISY, level 1, 2, and 3, or whatever level the books are marked up at. But it also has the ability to jump by time in audio files. You can jump back by 5, 10, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and maybe even one or two more. You just cycle between those various time modes with the 9 key, and then when you use left and right arrow keys, it will jump by that amount of time. That works pretty well, and there is a way to jump to a particular percentage of a file, 50%, whatever percentage you enter in, you can go to that percentage of an audio file.
In the book reader mode, which is reading your text files or your RTF files or your Word files, I believe it's the number 7 key. If you push the number 7 key, it says go to page. And if you know the page number you want to go to, you can use the keypad to type in the page number and then press OK and you go to the page.
This is Buddy. There are two things that I want to just mention briefly. You can have up to 1,000 bookmarks per file. You can jump to any one of them just by pressing a button and typing in its bookmark number. Now that, of course, means that you'd have to memorize over 1,000 bookmarks. I don't anticipate anyone using much many more than 3 or 4. The other thing really is, and this was a bit confusing for some people, I think, there's something that says that the BookSense doesn't memorize your place in a file under 10 minutes. Some people were saying that they thought that meant that you had to be listening to a file for 10 minutes before it would memorize your place, and that's not the case. The file has to be at least 10 minutes long before the book sense will save your place in that file. Now, if the file is more than 10 minutes long, and you're listening to it, let's say you just listen to it for 45 seconds into the file and then pause it, BookSense will keep track of that. So the next time you go back to that file, it'll pick you right back up. And it's pretty good about that. It's pretty good about memorizing where you are inside audio files in the media player. Not quite as good at that in the NLS DAISY marked up files. Other people have addressed that, but it's really nice in the audio files.
Now, it's an audio file. I want to ask about the equalizer, like how many bands, and does it distort, and kind of talk about your experience if any of you have played with that.
Yes, buddy. I haven't played with it a lot, but one thing I will say is that it's not very adjustable. It has presets: pop, rock, classic, and normal, and that's really it. There's no other adjustments, so you takes what you get.
This Robert, the sound is quite different with each of the four modes. When listening to music, I personally prefer the normal sound that isn't modified by the graphic equalizer, but you can give it a different tone and add more bass or more treble or change the tone of the sound quite a bit with the four different modes. Like Buddy said, those are the only choices you have. You can't go in and tweak it beyond what they give you.
This talks about the ability to read ID3 tags and make playlists. Has anyone done anything like that? So say if you load a couple thousand songs on it and then want to just make a playlist of a couple of your favorites. Have any of you done anything with that?
I did successfully create a playlist. It was pretty easy to add songs to a playlist actually on the unit itself. Very easy to play that playlist once you created it. You know, you have to look at the manual and then follow the steps to do it. It isn't hard to do once you understand that you hold down a key to select the song, and then you can go add the song to the playlist. That's pretty cool. When you're playing a file and you press the zero key, it will read the name of the file as it is named on the device. But if you press and hold down the zero key, it will bring up a little dialogue that lets you read through the ID3 tag information, and you can just use the up and down arrow to arrow through the information. And one thing that's really nice about these dialogues on the BookSense, if you're, say, in the artist or the song title and you want to know how it's spelled, you can simply use the left and right arrow to read through the item one character at a time. And that's true for, as far as I know, all the dialogues that have information like that on the BookSense. An easy way to spell something out if you want to check it out.
So let's talk about the voice recorder, its capabilities, maybe what the quality is of the internal mic, which is mono, and if any of you hooked up any external mics, kind of what your thoughts are on the audio quality or what you've done with the voice recorder thus far.
I don't have much experience with the voice recorder. The only thing I've done is record some voice memos. I found that recording is very good. The mic is very hot. You have to hold it a ways away from your mouth or it'll distort. It picks up great. So if you wanted to record a lecture or wanted to record people talking in a room, I think the BookSense would really pick that up very, very well. The internal mic is mono. I have not yet recorded with an external mic, but we'll do some of that tomorrow. I have the day off. I'll do some of that and also want to record some with the line in. And yes, you can set all kinds of parameters in terms of the file format. You can record an MP3 wave, and you can adjust all the parameters that you would expect in terms of the bit rate and the sample size. And you can also adjust the sensitivity level of the microphones or the line in. You have four different sensitivity levels.
When you're reading a file, as you can add a bookmark, you can add a voice mark. I think they call it a voice memo, actually, to a place in a file that you're listening to. But to do actual just straight recording with the internal mic, you can be in any mode. It doesn't matter. When you push the record button, you push and hold it, and it says start recording, and whatever you're playing stops. When you can pause it by pressing the record button again, then when you want to resume, you press the record button a third time. And when you're ready to stop, you hit the play pause button. And it gives you the opportunity of playing the recording before it saves it. It says save a recording, yes or no. And if you want to play it immediately before it will save, you just press OK. And if you don't want to hear it, you use the right or left arrow to go from yes to no, and then press OK, and it saves it in your recording folder. I've tried the different mic sensitivity settings, the 1 through 4. I don't notice any difference, but I'm not a big audio file. I just picked it up and spoke into it, and I had to hold it much farther away than I would any other kind of recorder. And there's no way to append to an existing recording.
It says something about searching capabilities. Can anyone comment on that? How do you search?
This is Jerry. You can really only search in a file once you've got it playing. If you get to a word you want, you up arrow or down arrow. It'll say search, and you press your right arrow and finds the next occurrence of the word, or the left arrow finds the previous occurrence. But the help basically functions like the key describer. It's very analogous to keyboard help in System Access.
Are there any known bugs right now, any things that people should be aware of, and maybe they're going to be addressed here at a forthcoming release, but some things that people should be aware of if they decide to go out and buy a device today, or maybe they've already bought it and haven't received it yet?
This is Chris. The biggest one right now, at least for me, is in the Daisy Reader, reading bookshare books, sometimes it skips text and you have to kind of go back. You can usually get it to play it if you go back, start again, but GW is aware of that and they're fixing it. As Buddy said, the NLS, when you go out of a book, it tends to go back to the previous heading instead of saving your place, and I'm not really sure why that is. When they're fixing that also, most of the bugs that I've seen are Daisy related. That's why I use the XML stuff with the bookshare. Some people say, you know, it does take a little bit longer to open up a file. Some people say that that's not cool. I don't really see it as a problem. It only takes, you know, like 5 seconds or something.
Yeah, this is Buddy. I've seen lots of reports of people saying that things lock up when, for example, if you're deleting. Someone else said that theirs stops working after half an hour with Bluetooth. Any number of strange things, but it doesn't seem to be anything specific that can be reproduced across the board, the lockups. I mean, I haven't experienced really any of them. Be aware that the internal mic is a little hot, both of which should be easily enough addressed in a firmware update.
I do have the XT model, which has the Bluetooth capability, and I've been using it a lot with a pair of Sony stereo Bluetooth headphones. And, of course, Bluetooth does introduce a few more complexities into the mix. It does mean that you're draining more of the battery life, so the battery's going to last a little less. It does mean that you are connected wirelessly, so there's always the possibility that something will interfere with that connection and it'll drop out or something, although I've seen very little of that. I've done a lot of reading with these Bluetooth headphones with very few problems. I did find one problem, that is if you leave Bluetooth on and attempt to connect your BookSense to the computer through the USB port, for some reason it won't connect. You have to turn Bluetooth off and turn the BookSense off and then back on, then it will connect fine. That's something they'll fix, of course. A few things like that we've seen, but I haven't seen anything that I would really call a showstopper at this point, or that I would say, hey, don't buy this unit because this is a terrible thing. The bookmark situation is the one that people have gotten the most frustrated with, I think, but that will be addressed, I'm sure, very, very soon. And I'm also sure that RFBND support and protected WMA support will be in there very soon. It's pretty good for a 1.0 release.
Okay, Robert, I'll ask you, since you're the only one with the XT that I know of anyway, what about the radio? Sound quality, the reception, setting of the presets, or scanning. Have you played with the radio much? I guess it even records, which is kind of cool.
My playing with the radio is fairly limited, so I'm not an expert with the radio. But the sensitivity is pretty good. It does have a sensitivity adjustment. If you're not picking up stations, you can increase its sensitivity level and it'll pick up weaker stations. I find that it picks up stations pretty well in my local area, although I do see that a lot of them are coming in mono as opposed to stereo, even though they're stereo broadcast, which suggests to me that it's not picking some of them up real strongly. The ones that it picks up strongly enough do come in stereo. It uses the headphone cable as the antenna for the radio, but it does give you a way to leave your headphones plugged in and turn the radio on through the internal speaker of the BookSense if you want to do that. It does announce the frequencies as you move through the FM band, and it's easy to set the presets. It's easy to scan for stations. If you hear something on the radio that you want to record, you can make a recording and it will store it in a folder for you. And, of course, you can make that recording in any of the various formats that the recorder will do, MP3, WAVE, with all the various settings. The radio is decent. It's not a fabulous FM radio. It's clearly a chip inside a very small device. I wouldn't buy it just for the radio, but it certainly is a workable radio with a lot of features.
I think there are only 6 presets.
Just for Chris or Robert, You already had the Victor, so what motivated you to buy this, and what do you like about each? What does the book sense really stand out over the Victor in your eyes and vice versa? What is one thing that you think the Victor maybe has an edge on that you hope maybe they can improve in the book sense over time?
This is Chris. Well, what motivated me to buy it, as I think I said earlier, is the voice primarily, and the protected WMA, which they haven't gotten yet, but I'm sure they will. I really like the voices. There's no competition there. I do think the Stream currently handles NLS stuff a little bit better than the book sense does. The Stream buttons on it are raised a little bit more, so if you have like sensitivity in your fingers, or you know, if you have neuropathy or something like that, that might be a consideration. The Stream has a little bit longer battery life, but not that much.
Well, I think the book sense addresses what I see are the few weaknesses of the VR Stream. But I never did like the TTS text-to-speech voice on the Stream. I always had trouble understanding it, and I got tired of listening to it pretty quickly. If I tried to read a text file or a Bookshare book or something like that, the BookSense definitely resolves that problem with the Kate and Paul speech. The BookSense has the Stream beat in terms of size. It just fits in your pocket so nicely, whereas the Stream is a little too big. You can carry it on your belt or something, but never liked really carrying it in my pocket. BookSense, you don't even know that it's in there. The BookSense, the fact that it plays so many more file formats, it also records in standard MP3 and WAV, which I think addresses a weakness that the Stream has in terms of recording. Of course, you can do stereo recordings with a stereo microphone or through the line in, which is a nice thing that the Stream doesn't do. I think the Stream is better at this point with its speech compression, with its TSM compression. I think it offers more options and the compression is smoother. So it'd be nice if that could be improved in the book sense. The Stream is, without question, the best player out there in terms of keeping your place in every file that you play on the Stream. There's never any question about starting up exactly where you left off. I think the BookSense needs to obviously do some improvement. Honestly, the two devices complement each other pretty well.
Okay, we will take questions. And again, just state your first name and we'll call on each of you in turn.
It's Micah. I got just one really quick.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
If somebody could only afford one of them, which one would you say would be the one to get?
I would say the BookSense because, you know, I'm biased. I really, you know, really enjoy the TTS. I think they're going to fix the NLS stuff.
If you trust GW Micro and HIMS and believe that the BookSense is in its infancy and is only going to get better, I agree with Chris. I'd buy the BookSense. It's good now. If they do what they say they're going to do with it, it's going to be even better within a very short period of time. So I'd go for the BookSense unless you want something right now that's already mature and solid and stable. I'd buy the Stream. You know, it depends on what your psychology is when you look at this technology. The regular BookSense, not the XT version, I believe it's pretty compatibly priced around the price of what the Stream is. They're both excellent devices, but if I was going to buy one today, choosing between the two, I'd buy the BookSense.
The BookSense, the Mac does not recognize the BookSense, so you will, Mike, if you're going to use it with your Mac, you will need a card reader.
Can you sync podcasts and other things from iTunes or copy your music?
Well, you can't copy direct from iTunes, but you can go into your iTunes folder and copy everything over just using the File Explorer. But, of course, iTunes doesn't recognize it, so it won't sync. But you can go right in and copy the folders. In fact, I've done that. I've copied all of my podcasts off of my iTunes music folder over to the BookSense. The Mac has some housekeeping files that you have to remember to take off or you'll get confused.
Got a card reader. The Stream actually does not show up on the Mac either. It doesn't recognize that. So for either device, you will need a card reader, and they say that's faster anyway.
Now, what about stability? I have issues. I've had files that have caused the Victor to keep rebooting or, you know, just shut down, or a corrupted maybe an XML file from Bookshare, something it didn't like, and it just kind of gets sluggish and then either just shuts off or I have to turn the device off. Have you seen any issue like that with the BookSense?
I have not, but we haven't had it too long either.
People on the list saying that there's been some lockups with the BookSense, but I haven't really experienced one. One thing I will kind of add regarding which one to buy, I think GW Micro had wanted to release an update before September, so if you want to wait a couple of weeks and see what they fix with this first update, if you're really concerned about, you know, that kind of stuff, you can do that also.
This is Constance. I have a question. Would the FM radio be considered analog or digital?
It's not an analog tuned radio because it doesn't have like a, you know, a dial. But so it's a digital tuner, but it's an analog radio in that, in other words, it's not an HD radio. So you're not going to get any of the HD stations with it.
This is Corey talking. I just have a question about the audio quality in terms of music, because I don't have either one of these devices, and I've always used a commercial MP3 player. So how does it hold up against that? You know, is the sound quality really good? Lots of bass, lots of room for adjustment, or is it pretty just sort of generic audio chip in there and not really adjustable?
The quality of the music playback is actually quite good. I would say that it's better than just a generic MP3 player. I would personally say that it's not quite as good as my iPod Nano. It's somewhere in the middle. I'm talking about the BookSense. I never even played music much on the Victor Stream. I did do a comparison between the BookSense and the Braille Plus from APH, which has quite a good media player, quite good sounding music playback. And I thought the BookSense was basically comparable with the APH Braille Plus or Icon. They're the same device, basically.
More for the System Access Mobile. On the Victor Reader streams, you could put files from the System Access Mobile network onto the Victor Reader. Will you be able to do this with the BookSense?
Well, our hope is that we can form a partnership to do that. As we say at Serotech, you never know.
We're talking about putting it in the pocket. Does it come with a case, or do they make a special case for that?
Teasy, velvety little bag with a drawstring. I don't recommend it. However, it also comes with two lanyards, so you can hang it around your neck. There's one that has a little metal clip that you can clip to. It holds up that way, and then there's one that you thread through like most wrist straps. I personally prefer the one that you thread through and so forth. The nice thing about it is that it's got a quick disconnect, so you can disconnect your wrist strap real easily from it if you need to without having to undo it. You might actually find a cell phone case that'll fit the BookSense.
Jerry, I spoke to someone at GW Micro last Friday, and they said that they're designing a case, and a case will be out, you know, at some point in the near future. But they weren't going to comment on the case because it hadn't been finalized yet.
Chris, I've just been putting it in my pocket. It does fit very well in your pocket. I have a case for my cell phone, and it does fit rather nicely in there. I'm sure you could find a cell phone case that would fit nicely because it is shaped a lot like a cell phone.
Robert, it is true that the little pouch that comes with it isn't anything to jump up and down about. But unlike Buddy and Chris, I do like this little pouch. I keep my BookSense in it most of the time, even when it's in my pocket. And yeah, I'm probably overprotective of my technology. That way, if I have a keys or something in there, and there's no chance that it's going to get scratched. So I guess I'm in the minority, but I'm okay with the pouch.
Well, and it might save if you ever fall in a pool or something. Does this thing have visual output? Can a sighted person pick it up and navigate? Does it show on the screen the settings and what you're actually working on?
What screen?
Yeah, there's no screen. But I have heard from a coworker that he looked at it and he said it looked pretty cool. If that's important, I have a standard one that's red.
Yeah, the standard one is red and the XT is white and it does not have any kind of screen whatsoever. But the keys are marked with their functions. So a sighted person can look at the keys apparently and tell a little bit about what they do. You need to use your ears. Everything is audible.
Some people would tag that as a blind ghetto product, just that lack of a screen. And I'm not going to go into that debate here.
If you're playing a file, basically a book reader file that you would read in the book reader, if you want to change the voice from Kate to Paul or Paul to Kate, you just push them and hold the number 5K, and it toggles and changes on the fly.
And there's no sluggishness if you're playing a book and navigating the voice or playing the radio and have the voice in the background, or there's no sluggishness at any time?
No sluggishness that I've noticed, although unlike things like the iPod or the iPhone or any of the Rockbox players, when you're listening to audio and they start talking, they'll drop the volume of the audio you're listening to so you can hear the voice. Unlike those, the BookSense will just quit. The audio will pause while it's talking when it finishes telling you what time it is or what the file percentage is or whatever it is that it's going to tell you. Then it picks the file right back up again. So it doesn't drop the level, it just pauses the whole thing while it's talking, so you don't get two things playing at once.
I do like that you can actually download the manual in any one of four different formats, so you can read about the device before deciding whether to purchase it, so you have that valuable insight. And does anyone want to give that? There's a list, right? You can join as well to learn more about it?
The list can be accessed from the GW Micro support page under the mailing list, or it's gw-booksense@gwmicro.com. One other thing, it doesn't come with any printed documentation at all. The only printed anything that was in the box was the packing slip. The manual is on a CD-ROM. It has Word doc, DocX, three or four formats of the manual, and that's it. That's all that's on the CD. There's no software, there's no window eyes demo, no nothing. The CD only has the manual, and that's it.
Is the manual on the device itself?
The manual isn't on the device itself, but the BookSense does have a really nice help mode. Hold down the menu key, and it'll go into help mode, and every single button will give you a summary of what it does. It's very comprehensive.
It's easy to copy the manual from the CD onto the device if you want to read it on the BookSense. The other thing I'd like to mention in closing is that when they do come out with a firmware upgrade, there is actually a menu option under Advanced that will do the update for you. You just simply put the update file on your SD card and go to that menu option and tell it you want it to update, and it does the update. I think it's going to be very easy for people to keep their BookSense running the latest firmware.
One more question. This has to do with authorizing your NLS books, because someone said it is a little different from the Victor, where you actually put the key in the root of the card, but it's not activated until you actually try to listen to your first NLS book. It's not like you just turn it on and it activates the key and you delete it. You actually have to launch a book first. Is that correct?
That's correct. And when you launch a book, it doesn't tell you that it's activated. It's just basically if the book starts playing, it's activated. And if it doesn't start playing, then not. And once you have it activated, you can delete that file. It's a very small file. So, I mean, it's not really going to take up any space, but you can delete it off the SD card.
I think it actually deletes the file once it activates, if I'm not mistaken.
So certainly you want to keep a copy on your hard drive or backed up somewhere, because you may need it again at some point. We're going to put the wraps on it. Thank you for all the great input. Of course, folks, go to gwmicro.com. There's a link right on the front page. It says BookSense. Between the four of you, you've really offered a lot of insight into the product. I hope people now can make a much more informed decision about if the BookSense is right for them. We welcome your comments. As always, call the Blab line. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-997-BLAB. That's 866-997-2522. Or send us an email to resources@serotech.com. That's resources@serotech.com. If you have an idea for a show topic, maybe you feel you could be a good guest. If there's a particular area or something that you're interested in, have a lot of background and expertise, we'd certainly like to speak with you. Till we meet again next week, let's stay connected and stay directed.